You're listening to Four Seas, One Family, episode 27. Welcome to Four Seas, One Family, the podcast where expats and future expats can share and learn about life experiences abroad. I'm your host, James Thomas, coming to you from Taipei, Taiwan, and I'm so glad to have you traveling along with me on this journey. Today, my special guest is Sarah Hong. She is originally from right here in Taiwan, and today she's at, I'll let her tell you where she is. But without further ado, yes, say hello to Sarah. How you doing, Sarah?
Hi, how are you? I'm good. And thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed this already.
Tell everybody where you are.
Now I'm in New York, Manhattan. Should I provide any further information? Upper West Side?
Okay. Yeah, well, that's okay. Enough. Don't worry.
That's very detailed.
Nah, we won't find you there. But look, I want to tell, you know, I want to talk about your experiences living in United States. But before we get to that, I want to you to talk about your journey in getting there. I mean, no, first of all, how did you prepare to move to the States or live in the States? And, you know, how did that get started?
Okay, so first and foremost, the most important thing is everybody take James's English class and that improves your English. That's my genuine advice. And so I was studying law in Taiwan, and then I practiced law for almost 2 years, and then I came here to do another degree at law, and now I'm practicing here.
Wow.
So I think that's pretty much the background I have.
Wow. And I've known you since you were what grade?
I think when I was 10 or 11, right?
Oh my goodness, that's a long time. Boy, you're getting old.
Yeah. But now I'm only 15, so 4 years ago. Come on.
So let's talk about then, I mean, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about, but let's talk about how did you really prepare to, you know, live abroad? You know, how did you really prepare yourself besides the language? You know, what else did you do?
So I think in Taiwan, we have a lot of access to like American pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
So American like pop music, American movies or TV shows. I think those are the things that really gives me motivation that I thought when I was in Taiwan, I never lived in the U.S., but I thought maybe I would like this country.
Mm-hmm.
And I somehow feel I'm already familiar with their culture a little bit. Of course, when I finally came here, I realized it's a huge mistake. I didn't know the culture at all, but I only know the superficial part. But I mean, it gives me motivation. And also when I was practicing in Taiwan, it's I'm a corporate lawyer. So
mm-hmm.
The agreement is always in English. And you always have the governing law, maybe the U.S. law.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel like you're very close to the U.S. and not just my life, but also my work. So it gives me incentive.
It gives
to
you
come here.
Cool. I mean, okay, you're dealing with like law. That's a whole different concept. When you are in another culture, another location where the mother language may have some differences between yours. And, you know, that can be quite appealing to some people, but also quite frightening. What are any types of fear you had to get over, you know, either before or during, you know, in the States, before going to the States or living in the States?
I didn't. I was more excited. I was more excited than afraid because I always knew that I want to study abroad, and I finally found a path to do it, and I feel it worth doing so. So I was more excited. But I remember before I came here, I went to visit a professor from my previous college
mm-hmm.
in Taiwan, and he also has the experience studied abroad too. So I asked him, like, can you give me some advice? And he said, the only thing he said is you should never care about your face.
Wow.
You should be very brave and bold. Always try to talk to people and make as many friends as you could. I mean, I still remember that. And sometimes I will remember, I will remind myself if I'm, I find myself in a reception and not talking to many people, I will think of what professor told me, like, come on, you got to be brave and step outside your comfort zone. Because in Taiwan, we're not very used to those kind of reception idea.
Right.
We're not, yeah, we're not used to stand up and mingle with different, different strangers. Mm-hmm. No, we usually just sit down at a table and talk to all the people on that table.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's all.
I would say that's very beneficial, his advice.
When you were my student, I always told you, open your mouth. You know, that's the whole idea, yeah, to break out of your shell, you know. And, you know, I talk about in the show how important it is for people to get out, I mean, while living abroad, to get out of their safe zone or their familiar, limited foreign environment. How important do you think it is for a person living in another culture, if, you know, if environment permits, you know, and that means no other safety concerns, how important it is to try to learn about your new atmosphere, the new culture you're in? How important is that to a visitor?
I think it's very crucial, and thank you for bringing that up. So I think as long as you try to know more about the future, and you would really appreciate the environment that you are here, you are now. And otherwise, you will always feel like a foreigner, always feel like a visitor. And you don't know the current trend or the most popular topic that everybody's talking about.
Right.
So I would say it's very important. And I think the most important thing is always about people, right? You need to make as many local friends as possible, so you will actually like the place. Otherwise, it's very easy for you to quit, because you can easily imagine I had a very good life in my hometown, and I can always go back. I have my family, I have my friends. So, I mean, in the beginning, it's quite hard. I think I'm still in that hard
phase, right?
Process phase, yes. So I'm still trying, but that's how I encourage myself.
You know, I always think, you know, even myself, when you live abroad, you know, you go through a certain, I like to say, the romantic, you know, phase where everything is so new and fresh. But, you know, like, and just face it, and I'm talking to you now, you're a lawyer, oh my goodness. You know, there are some places where you will always be a foreigner, but that should not be a restricting factor for you to enjoy your stay or learn from those within your environment, which can, you know, show how you are unique to the people around you, and you can see how they're unique and hopefully open up some kind of exchange. I mean, would you say that there are certain things that you have to explain to people in your host nation there, in New York, where I'm from, New York City? You have to explain things maybe about things about your culture back here in Taiwan or in the area here?
I think the best thing about New York is there are way too many foreigners. Oh. So everybody is very used to that. They look at you, they don't see any difference about you, and they don't assume that you are not from this country.
Oh, correct.
I could be the second generation, and anyone could be the second generation. So that's actually one thing I like about New York a lot, that they don't treat you differently. So, you know, so that's also a good thing and a bad thing. The good thing is they don't treat you differently. But the bad thing is sometimes when I first arrived here and maybe they speak too fast, I didn't understand, and they won't slow it down for me. They'll be like, how can I help you? How can I help you? And they just repeat it. They don't feel like they have the responsibility to slow it down. Because they'll be like, you might be living here for 10 years. I don't know.
Right.
Or you're the second generation. So that's the good thing. And that actually forced you to grow faster. I hope I did, but I feel that actually, like, they're throwing you into the pool and force you to learn how to swim.
Wow, that's very interesting, because I went back to the U.S. 2 years ago, and you know, in some ways, because I've lived here in Asia so long, I felt like a foreigner. You know, television shows I didn't know anything about, or very little bit, you know, very little, and I felt, wow, wait a minute, I'm from this place, but, you know, going back home and, you know, seeing new things, hearing new things, I felt kind of shocked. You know, next time when I go back home, I'm going to look you up and ask you to please reintroduce my home back to me, you know. But, you know, it is. Now you're there all by yourself, right?
Yep.
You know, how can you talk a little bit about the socialification of your life in New York City. And, you know, like you said something very interesting, because New York City is a melting pot, you know, the United Nation type of place, you know, and people look at you, they don't know where you're from. They assume that you're local. I mean, come on, there's a lot of reasons, because New York City is a big city. Can you talk a little bit about how you socialize in New York City, and how would it different, or how has it been different from here in Taiwan?
Yeah. So before I go into that topic, I want to add something about how they will recognize you as a foreigner.
Uh-oh.
I think unless you walk very slowly on the street, they will know that you're a tourist.
Oh, well, okay.
And they will push you a little bit.
Oh.
I still remember when I first came here, they were like, sometimes they bumped into me and they would not say sorry. That's cool.
Oh, I should not say sorry to you.
Yeah, like you should be the one saying sorry to me. You walk too slow, so maybe that's the only thing they could tell that you're a tourist. Other than that, they would never assume that.
Uh-huh.
And so for the social events, I would say when I was doing my master's degree, I had a very good experience because the school actually hosts a lot of social events, a lot of mingle events, parties, and also receptions. They encouraged us not to just learn more about our classmates, but also they will have a lot of alumni events, and also some events with the partners or the law firms,
mm-hmm.
that you could talk to know more about, like, how to initiate a career and how would it be like if you have a career here. And it's really good. And that's the timing I learned how to do small talk. And I feel like I'm still really, really bad at it. Americans are natural.
Unnatural.
Small talk is really hard. And also, the first thing I learn about the events is when people ask you, how are you?
Uh-huh.
Do not respond anything else but fine or good.
Oh, because
they don't really care how you are.
That's Americans. Yeah, I think that's Americans generally.
Yes, because you don't pause and say, not so well. They will find you very weird.
Yeah,
that's what I learned. Is it true? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like in Mandarin Chinese, you say ni hao, hello. They don't want to really know your real, you know, line by line, lineup on how you feel. But, well, how about for recreation? I mean, what do you do for, you know, besides your work parties? Come on now.
Yeah, definitely the Broadway show. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's really good.
I'm a little jealous now.
Definitely. You know, when I first arrived, I feel so honored and privileged because, for example, I had Hugh Jackman singing for me on a Thursday night.
You got you singing for you.
I know.
Now I'm really jealous. I'm going to have to go over there and pull you out now. Well,
I it's live show. I feel so privileged. And I think Broadway show might be the only thing that I didn't have the access to enjoy when I was in Taiwan. Other than that, concerts or movies, I can always enjoy it in Taiwan. It's pretty much the same.
Yeah, I want to go back go ahead.
No. It's that I already finished my point.
I want to go a little bit more because have you gotten many questions from people in New York, U.S., asking about your home? And once they find out, okay, you're not local, where are you from? You know, tell me about you. Have you ever been a situation where people got into depth about knowing more about you or where you come from?
I think no. I don't.
Why is that? I'm shocked.
Yeah, I don't think New Yorkers really care.
Wow.
Seriously.
No, that's very interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not sure if it's just for me or it's because of Asia. They are not very familiar with, so they have less interest. I'm not sure if it's because of that. But when I say I'm from Taiwan, and usually they would just say, oh, how's the weather? Maybe we'll just have one or two more sentences about it, and that's it.
You know, it's very
go
interesting.
Back to our real life.
To me, that's kind of sad, you know, because, you know, I'm trying to, with this program, with this podcast, I'm trying to show the world how internationally related we are and how we are the same, but at the same time different, and how we should take the opportunities to learn from each other and share. But it may be sometimes because, you know, New York City is just a big international hub, that many New Yorkers really don't know that much about outside of New York, outside the United States. But it's quite the opposite when you have so many people from overseas going to New York or the United States. They know more, like you said, about the pop culture in their foreign nation and stuff like that. And maybe New Yorkers are maybe U.S. citizens or people who are born in the U.S. are less encourage or are in a situation to less likely to do that kind of cultural searching into overseas locations. And, you know, that's quite interesting. Are there any local American, North American, New York customs, holidays, events that stand out in your mind or that you become that became part of your life, maybe?
Not American ones?
No, well, local in New York or American.
So for any kind of holiday?
Sure, that's yeah, something like that. Anything like that?
Definitely Thanksgiving. I feel people are treating it like a very huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect that. I thought people would only appreciate Christmas.
Uh-huh.
But people actually treat Thanksgiving very seriously. And the turkey is actually not that bad. It's good. I like it.
Yeah, we have turkey here. Which is
yeah, I know, but come on, the gravy here,
oh,
everything here is very creamy and heavy.
I'm not going to ask you on this show how much weight have you gained because you're living in the States. I'm not going to talk about that, but we're going to move right along because some of the food is good, but and also big portions. But you know, there's another thing I want to ask because I'm always curious because right now you are a very upbeat person, Sarah. What kind of difficulties you had to make when to adjust to living away from home, and what did you have any hardships or something like that? That kind of like any going down periods or something like that?
Yeah, I would say so. Like recently, I am a little bit worried that I would never fully understand their conversation because
mm-hmm.
it's. Okay, maybe in the beginning it's the language problem, and then maybe everybody has some accent.
Right.
Because as we discussed, not everybody is a local American. A lot of them are from other country, and now they just moved to New York. So in the beginning, I have to adjust to a lot of European accent, like French accent, Turkish accent. And it's really hard. And then it's Mexican accent. I'm sure you have been through that.
Yeah.
Whenever you go to a deli, it's always a Spanish-speaking person that would
help
you.
A lot of times,
you.
Yes.
Yeah, and then you have to adjust to that accent. And then after the language barrier, the accent barrier, I would say it's about culture. Because I remember the other day I was in the office and my colleague is asking, my office mate is asking me, can you give me that purple pen? And I said, yeah, I'll give it to you. And then he said, oh, so it's as purple as blah, blah, blah. And I said, what? He said, it's a cartoon that we used to watch when we were kids. I'm like, I didn't even bother asking twice. Maybe I tell you now, you will know what he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
He said it's a cartoon. So my biggest concern would be, I'm not sure if I could always understand. I can fully pick up what they are talking about. Cause of course you share your childhood memory, mm-hmm. how you grew up and
right.
what's your common experience in high school, middle school, college. But that's very different from mine.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to share with people, especially, you know, once again, this is kind of special because you are in New York City and you're working in a field where there are a lot of international co-workers, influences and stuff like that. Do you bump into people from Taiwan there in New York and you ever stop and like share a moment and talk about home? And if you do, you know, what do you talk about, basically?
We talk about food for sure.
Okay.
For food. Sure. And what else? We would just talk. Like nowadays, like in winter, we'll definitely talk about Taiwan, the weather.
The
like,
weather.
Oh, it's killing me here. I'm not going to stay here.
Oh, my goodness.
It's too much. Things like that.
It just gets very cold. And you said you had snow there this morning, which kind of shocked me.
Yeah, yesterday morning. Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. For you, I'm not sure about the time difference.
We're about 13 hours right now.
Hours. So yeah. Probably for you, it's also yesterday. Yeah, yeah.
How about maintaining contact with friends and family? I mean, is it the same traditional Facebook, Skype, and all that stuff? Or, you know, how do you deal with that? You know, there's a time difference, of course. But how often do you communicate with friends and family back home here in Taiwan?
I just send them messages whenever I want. And actually, 12 hours difference is actually good.
Really?
I think it's better because if you're 9 p.m., I'm 9 a.m., it's perfect timing. Nobody is sleepy. But for example, if you're in Europe, it's about 6 hour difference. It's mm-hmm. really trouble. It's a lot of trouble. And I feel 12 hours is okay. And I feel, because of thanks to the technology, it's very right. easy to communicate, to keep in touch with your friends and family. It's always, I don't think that's a big issue.
Do you have to talk to people back home and kind of like quell some of their worries about you living in the States? Because, you know, right now the States, you know, at this time that we're having these interviews, there's a lot of things going on. You know, election season is coming up, and you know, a lot of people are looking at what's happening in the States with in particular, Mr. Donald Trump and other things with the GOP and other things. Do you get any comments from them and people asking you back home about the situation?
Yeah, they don't ask me that. I think probably because you can also always read it on the news.
Mm-hmm.
And when my friends talk to me, we don't discuss something so meaningful.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, that was a bad question. Okay.
But I do discuss it with my friends here. Because for example, like Mr. Donald Trump, he has a lot of opinions about immigrants mm-hmm. and also the immigrants visa. So me and my friends here, we will discuss it. Mm-hmm. We just feel it's so much fun. And I have a lot of Mexican friends here. And they will be like, okay, what was the comment from Mr. Trump to uh-huh. them? And we will just discuss about it.
You as a foreigner, okay? I mean, does that his comments ever trouble you or anything like that? Or cause you to think or what?
Yeah, for sure. Because So yesterday he was saying something about he's going to end the immigrants visa forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
and
goodness.
He said that. And he said, because people are using it as the opportunity to import cheap labor.
Okay.
yeah. And taking opportunities for Americans, taking working opportunities from Americans. I mean, he's very radical, so I like to read his comments and to know about how things right. will go. So I highly doubt he will actually like make those things happen.
How would you encourage Mr. Trump, to learn more about other people? You know, how would you propose to him? Say, hey, you know, Mr. Trump, you need to get out more. How would you package wording to him?
I think he has to step out of his comfort zone mm-hmm. to know, and then he could learn to respect other culture and other people who are different from him,
right?
Not just race, not just religion background, but like people from different level. Like he's born rich, okay?
Right.
So
yes.
Maybe he doesn't know how to respect a person as him, a Native American, but from maybe born from a working class family.
Right.
I don't think he would really respect them. So I think he doesn't respect anyone. Doesn't come from a similar background as him. So I think he should learn that. But having said that, I think his comfort zone is really huge, and it's impossible to make him feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Unless he went broke, he goes, oh my God, he will sue me. Because somebody claimed that he was broke, and then he said, I'm going to sue her.
Oh my goodness.
So, I mean, unless he really encounters some difficulties, I think this applies to everyone. I think unless you encounters to some difficulties, you would never have the motivation to step out of your comfort zone, and then that you would lose the chance to know something other than you, like some cultures or some different people other than those you met in your comfort zone.
Wow, that was well spoken. Wow, that was
no,
well spoken.
I'm a little bit pessimistic. I think you have to be motivated. It's very hard for you to wake up one day and feel, yeah, I want to learn more about other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's very serious in Taiwan
because
we have a lot of immigrants from Southeast Asia.
Right. We do.
And I do think we could have a lot more respect to them.
And this is the whole basic idea of people getting out of their zone or taking the initiative sometimes to cross the bridge. I mean, the mental bridge sometimes, you know, yes. and to go to the side and say, tell me about you. This is me.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, I mean, there are things about cultures, excuse me, different cultures that you may not be able to totally accept. Now, I'm sure there's things about in the U.S. that you may not totally like, but you still, you know, take a positive outlook on it. Because, you know, like I said, you're a popcorn. You like boom, boom, boom. Are there any situations where, can you give me an examples of that? Like things that maybe drive you crazy, but you've learned to deal with it there in New York.
Things that drive me crazy. Okay. So a very simple example. Americans like to, whenever I say, hi, I'm Sarah. Mm-hmm. And Americans, some Americans, they would say, oh, now I think about something. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt that. I think about, actually, Americans, when they know that I'm from Taiwan, they would like to discuss Chinese food with me.
Interesting.
They would say, oh, so can you recommend me some good Chinese restaurant here in New York? Are they similar from the food as the food you have in Taiwan?
Oh, that could be okay.
They would like to discuss that. I think food part is very interesting for them, but not many of them would like to discuss the some of them would like to discuss the politics.
Maybe they wouldn't understand it, maybe. Maybe that could be
When they, yeah, but I mean, when they ask that question, I'm sure they already have some background knowledge.
Oh.
So they would say, tell me something about things happening, the politics happening in Taiwan.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. And I know Americans from work, so maybe they want to keep some distance.
Right.
As friend and work, and they don't want to ask too many personal questions. But for those people I know from school, when they know that I'm from Taiwan, maybe I cannot remember correctly if they asked me or if I just wanted to tell them. I don't care if they want have the interest or not. I would definitely tell all my friends about the political situations and right. how things are going in Taiwan and how you guys underappreciate Taiwan. Taiwan is the most worth visiting country for everyone.
It is a wonderful place. And also the beef noodles are really terrific. How do you envision your experiences, talking from now, how do you envision your experience there in the United States, and in particular, New York City? How do you envision the experiences that you are absorbing now? How would that affect you later in your life?
I think for sure the way how I deal with connections between people,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if it could apply elsewhere, the experience I learned here. For example, I learned... I try to force myself to initiate a small talk as often as possible. And I try to talk to a stranger. And especially, I try to talk to senior people.
Okay.
Not just age, or probably seniority at work. Because in Taiwan, I often feel the hierarchy. And I don't think it's really polite for me just to go straight up to a partner and say, hey, James, what's up?
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's really appropriate. They will be like, aren't you a junior lawyer?
Uh-huh.
Why are
what's
you
the motive?
Disrupting me? But now here, I feel more like when two partners are talking to each other, they actually welcome you to join the conversation, just stand there and then wait for the right timing and to also make a conversation with them. And they are always, I feel they don't have that hierarchy concept.
Mm-hmm.
So, I definitely feel I would be more active in initiating a conversation with different people, because okay. I used to talk to only to junior, like people with similar age or a similar position as me.
Uh-huh.
But now I feel like, no, I could express sometimes maybe surprisingly a quite nice opinion to the partners, and they might appreciate it, and I could be more brave. To talk to them.
How would you, yeah, that's right. So you're seeing that this helped you develop in a way of communicating with people, even who are maybe different age or seniority level within your corporation and stuff like that, right? Within your,
yeah.
Your, excuse me, how would you say the law firm or whatever. But once again, you're in a very special very special, special location because, you know, New York City is a hub of so many different cultural and financial things that there's a whole different dynamic of people you bump into. Because if you were in the middle of, say, central United U.S., that'll be a whole different thing, too. What advice, then, would you give to another Sarah, you know, coming up and looking beyond their small world? What advice would you give a person like that looking for that other part of the universe? What would you tell this person? What would you really tell this person?
Yeah, for sure, I'm going to pass along the great advice from my professor. That is definitely do not care about your face.
Not care about your face.
Yeah, that's what actually his accurate word is, you know, you should have your face on the floor and step on it.
So in other words, don't be afraid to lose face, which is a big thing in Asian cultures.
Yeah, yes, yes. So he put it in a very aggressive way. But don't be afraid to lose your face. And so that also means to step out of your comfort zone. And once you did that, I think you can really appreciate learning of a new culture. And you would have so many good, I think, so long as you step out of your comfort zone, you can really tell that if you like this culture or not. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you are just seeing this culture through a veil. You're not sure if you really touch upon the core. I am not sure if I touch upon the core yet. I'm still trying. Mm-hmm. But that would be that would not just be the advice for another Sarah. That would be the advice for this, for me. For me too. I still want to learn how to do that. And I think once I really have more substantial contact with a lot of native New Yorkers, and then I could really say that if I like the culture or not. And before that, I think you still have to try and you shouldn't stop trying.
No, regardless of where you are, right? You know, it can be even here back home, you know, as an expat you will have some downtime. When I mean downtime, I mean times where you'll be unhappy or events would crush you. I mean, what would be your advice to, say, another Sarah in that situation then?
I'm very lucky because the program I studied in New York is actually a program full of foreigners.
Mm-hmm.
So I can always go to them. They are like my safe harbor and they will have the same experience. Mm-hmm. And we will complain together. That's really good. So I would say having some I'm lucky because I have foreigner friends also in the States. But I mean, if you build your connection here, you have some local friends, just go talk to them. And it actually solves everything. It's exactly the same as I was in my hometown.
Right.
Whenever I have some difficulties at work, I complain it to my friend. And now I have other difficulties, I complain it to my friend here. And they will reply me immediately. So you feel so much better. Problem solved. Though nothing is solved.
Wow, this is so cool. You know, I really, you know, I know it's early in the morning there, and I really appreciate you taking the time, especially with our time difference, to talk to me. I haven't spoken to you in years, but I'm so happy to see that you're doing well and you're doing good for yourself. And I hope to be able to talk to you again. And when you're back here in Taiwan, I would like you to maybe speak to the students here and talk more about your experience about living abroad. And how to keep them stay focused.
That would be my honor, though I'm not sure if I'm the right person, right model to share any experience because I'm still learning and trying. But that would be my great honor.
Great. Well, I'm going to let you go. And once again, I really appreciate you taking the time and just stay in contact. And look, and if anybody would like to get any messages to Sarah through me, you know, drop out a website, 4C1Family. Leave us a message on SpeakPipe on the website. Or drop me an email at comments@4C1Family.com. And I'm going to say goodbye for now. So for James Thomas and Sarah Hong for 4C1Family, I'm James.
Bye. Take care.
Bye-bye. 再见.
Sees One Family is a production of the World Data Exchange Video Network, WDEVN.